Blog Talk Radio. Everyone, I am so excited to be spending this time with you for the next 30 minutes here on the Living by Design show. And if I sound overexcited, it is because I am. I am so thrilled that you are getting such massive, major value in this series of women hating each other, women competing with each other, women betraying each other. It has been overwhelmingly accepted by you, and I am so happy about that. And this evening, what I'd like to do is, if you joined us last week, we had a powerful discussion with two very, very influential young ladies, Dr. Pat Heim and Dr. Susan Murphy, who together wrote a massively successful book entitled In the Company of Women. And what I would like to do this evening is just give you some highlights from that book and give you some insight and some excerpts from that book so that you can get an idea of how great that book is and how much it can help change your life. There are so many different aspects and dynamics and paradigms where this situation is concerned. And there are situations where we as women, as a gender, compete with each other, hate each other, betray each other. But there's also another extremely important dynamic that I hope I have an opportunity to get into this evening. But if not, we're going to be doing this series over the next couple of weeks, and I want to make sure we get everything in. And that dynamic that I want to make sure that I share with you is how we have the intraracial situations, meaning that African-American women are hating and betraying African-American women, and Latino women do it within their culture and their ethnicity group, as well as Asian women do it within their ethnicity group. And it's just so many things, and that's why I said it's a lot of different dynamics where this situation is concerned. So we're going to give you information from the world's greatest psychologists. We're going to be bringing you celebrity interviews about this topic, some very powerful individuals who know a lot about this. We're going to be talking to Mr. Hill Harper about this topic, as well as his new book. And we're also going to be hearing, before this topic is done, from a very influential individual who we all know and love, who is my hero of all times, and that is Dr. Maya Angelou. So I want you to be ready, be prepared. I want you to stay tuned, stay connected with us on this topic, because I believe, based on everything I've seen and heard from you thus far, this is going to change a lot of lives. Now, before we get into the material this evening, I want to make an announcement that Living by Design is coming to the WHMB Network out of Indianapolis, Indiana. And I am so excited about that. You will have an opportunity to not only listen to the Living by Design show on the radio, but we are bringing it to the television airwaves. Yes, beginning January 12, 2014, we will be airing our first show for Living by Design, and it's going to be a powerful one. So stay tuned for that. Keep in touch with me. Keep up with me on Facebook or Twitter or LinkedIn. Go to my website, because there will be a lot of information about that upcoming show. So I am very, very excited, and I hope you will be too, because there are going to be a lot of surprises and a lot of opportunities for you to change and transform your life even more than we have done here on the radio show. So stay tuned for that. Okay, now ladies, we all know that this topic has been circulating around for many years, and this is not the first time that it has come up, but it definitely is the first time I have addressed it here on the Living by Design show, and I'm really excited by it. And I want to just start out this segment by just reminding you ladies that you have so much power and you have so much love and support inside of you. But for whatever reason, it just has a problem coming out with other females. If you were to ask a man who their best friend is, most men would probably identify their wives, right? But if you ask women that same question, they would typically name another woman, even though they had a husband. Very rarely will you hear a woman name her husband as her best friend, but men do that. And men have a whole different mindset and thought process about the same type of relationship connections that women do. And when men encounter other men, it's a whole different dynamic. And I think a large part of what's going on with women is that they are used to having the close, intimate relationships. And when those close, intimate relationships appear to be threatened, now I'm saying appear to be because there's a lot of perception going on here in these situations with women. When the perception is negative, especially about yourself, when the perception about who you are is negative, or if there's some low self-esteem that's going on here, that's where the problem begins. Now, you know, we've all heard the term catfight. And typically that term is used in a derogatory way to describe women's behavior toward each other, that it's irrational and inappropriate. And typically it has been a word that's created and used by men. But I've also heard other women refer to female relationships or female conflict as catfighting. And that in itself is a negative term. So if we could just get rid of that word, that would be a step in the right direction. Now, I want to talk in this segment also about women in the workplace and why the issue comes up in the workplace so often. And you hear most people, not just women, but men too, you hear most people say, I would rather have a male boss than a female boss. Now, why do you think that is? Well, here are the major contributors to this whole situation. And in the workplace, it can really be a significant issue because it affects productivity, it affects your stress level, and it just affects the overall success of your department and the organization. So some of the things that get in the way can include gossip. And gossip has many functions. Some are positive, but not too often. But it can include maliciousness, destructive comments used to tear another woman down. And if you can't say something nice about someone, or if you are having a problem with someone, gossip is not the way to go. You should approach that person and speak to them in a very respectful manner, exactly the same way you'd want them to speak to you. Another issue in the workplace is spreading rumors and divulging secrets. These are ways to just hurt someone without that individual knowing the source of who said it. And when we become friends with an individual, we do that in an effort to help support her and to help lift her up and encourage her. And when you spread rumors or divulge secrets about someone else, it really doesn't hurt them as much as it affects your credibility, because your credibility is ruined. And when someone hears you spreading those type of vicious rumors and gossip, it can affect who you are in a negative way, and of course it's going to affect your relationship with that individual. And then the other issue is making insinuating or insulting comments about the person. And this typically happens if someone in your department or in your office has gotten promoted. You used to be peers, but now that individual is over you or in a higher position than you, and now you're upset about it. And you begin to make insinuating comments, insulting comments, trying to bring her down or make her look bad when it's really just making you look bad. And then undermining and trying to sabotage the situation or the individual. just because something good has happened for her, she's got an award or a promotion, you may try to sabotage her and possibly make her look bad in the eyes of her coworkers or the management above her, whoever promoted her. But again, it doesn't make her look bad. And then purposely snubbing someone and withdrawing your friendship just because you may be envious or you just don't want to go along with the program because you've got some unresolved issues inside of you that really need to be addressed. Relationships are such a critical element in the world of women and business that they are central to our dealings in the business world. We are in a generation now where there are more women than ever in the workplace. And at the office, we tend to think relationship-wise. We tend to think with a relationship type of mindset. And that's good. Women often define their career success by their ability to create connections and collaborations with others and develop work relationships in a healthy manner. And the ability to develop relationships is imperative in crossing the threshold to the next level. And that's why the maintenance of those relationships in the workplace is far more important to women than to men, which is typically what causes the problems. And because women put so much emphasis on their relationships in the workplace, it can become somewhat of a social issue because the significance is so much so that if one small thing is affected or if someone does something that woman perceives as negative, now it has significantly affected her self-esteem, how she conducts herself, and how she connects and collaborates with other females. And the other issue is that not only will that woman have an issue with the female who has done something wrong or betrayed her or gossiped about her, but now her opinion has spread to all females. Instead of addressing one issue with one individual, what women tend to do is just have a now universal opinion of all females, and that's typically where the problem begins. Now, I myself have encountered a lot of problems with a lot of females when I go into a workplace or if I'm working with a client and there are females in the office, I can feel the tension. I can feel the stares. I can pretty much read expressions on their faces, and I'm really not sure how to handle that. So what I typically do is I just continue to be myself. I am a very positive person. I'm a very upbeat person. I'm going in to motivate or to teach a workshop. So I always keep myself focused on what it is I'm there to do. And because I'm a very positive person, typically people will come around and they will realize that I'm not a threat and that there's nothing about me that they should feel negatively about. Now, here are a couple of things to keep in mind in the workplace. A few rules of thumb if you're trying to, you know, establish a great relationship with women. And, I mean, it is a sad fact of life that you may even need to just keep the relationship professional at work and just not have personal relationships, but that's for you to decide. So here are some strategies that you might find helpful in, you know, getting through your situations at work. First of all, please be careful about divulging your secrets. People talk, and you must expect that if you share a confidence with a woman. Other people will try to pull it out of her because a lot of people know that gossip is a very common trait of women. So the other woman may gossip out of spitefulness because she may be angry with you about a situation. So just be careful about how much you share about your personal situations, your personal life. Try to keep it as professional as possible in the workplace. And then separate your personal and professional lives. If you're trying to go to the top, or if you're trying to get promoted, or if you're trying to get an award, or everyone wants to be perceived as a positive asset to their department and to their organization, so keep that in mind. Just keep in mind that you're there for a reason. You're not there to make friends. You're not there to create a personal relationship. Do that outside the workplace. And then the third thing is to make your intentions clear. The personal and professional boundaries can become very muddy when you pursue another woman's business by offering her perks or offering her some type of reward of some sort for her to become your friend. If you're expected if you want to be perceived as a professional and good at what you do, then you must demonstrate that type of behavior. So make your intentions clear in the workplace with another woman, what it is you're trying to accomplish. If there's conflict, then approach it in a professional manner, a respectful manner. Be assertive, but don't be aggressive. And then the next thing is to gently stop destructive behavior. It's critical that when you hear a friend attacking someone who has an opportunity to do that, if they have some information about the person, so they now have an opportunity to share that, spread it, gossip, then immediately respond in a positive way to let her know that that is unacceptable behavior. You have a responsibility as a professional in the workplace, as an individual, as a woman, to try and shut that type of behavior down. Now, please be supportive of the woman who is attacking. So when you say whatever you're going to say to her to try and shut it down, just let her know, you know, pull her aside. Don't attack her back the way she's attacking the person that she's talking about. Don't go to her level and stoop down to her level, but pull her aside and just let her know that that's not professional behavior. She wouldn't want someone to do that to her. And just remind her that we're all in the workplace to get a job done. We have an objective here. And it's not to attack other people, spread rumors and gossip, and betray the respect that you should have for other people. The next comment is to pay close attention to your female relationships. If you're fortunate enough to work well with the men in your department, your female coworkers may perceive this as a power move on your part. So in that case, you would be very wise to manage your relationships with them very carefully. Don't exclude the women from your circle of relationships. Be sure to support your interactions with them using female talk and appropriate female body language. Don't try to act superior because you have good relationships with the males in the office. And then the next thing is to be very generous of spirit. Now, I know we all know what that means. Your spirit absolutely speaks volumes about who you are. And unfortunately, there's not enough of the generosity of our spirit going around. And we may have some generosity in our spirit, but we keep it to ourselves. So if a female coworker or peer or someone in your department gets promoted, then don't be afraid to congratulate her. Don't be afraid to say, good job, or just give her a positive comment just to show that you are supportive. You have no idea how far that can go. If you show your support for someone else, you never know how that can come back to help you, because we all know that what we put out is what we get back. So I have seen this situation. I was in the workplace for 28 years, and I have seen this situation where if a female gets promoted, other females immediately jump to the negative place. They immediately jump to negative behavior. They immediately start bad-mouthing her. But if they would act positively and support her, then she could be your biggest ally. So please keep that in mind. So then I wanted to mention about conflict. Let's say that conflict does arise. Well, there are healthy ways to deal with conflict, just like there are unhealthy ways that you shouldn't deal with conflict. So if conflict does arise, some of the things that you can do, first of all, first and foremost, is to manage your own defensiveness. Get a hold of your emotions. If you're emotional and you're angry or you have any type of toxic emotion present, stop, take a walk, deep breathe, count, get your mind off of the emotional place. If you use your left brain, counting is a left brain task. Do something that is going to calm you down. Go somewhere and visualize, listen to some music, go sit in your car, whatever you have to do to get your emotions under control. And then, once you've relaxed, identify what the conflict is from a perspective of keeping it professional. Don't focus on the emotions. Don't focus on how you're feeling. Before you approach the person, make a mental note, or you can write it down on a piece of paper, of what the conflict actually is. Make sure your focus is on the situation. Because if your focus is not on the situation and you approach the individual about the conflict, you're going to revert back to your emotions, and that's not what you want to do. So when you go to the individual, something you could possibly say is, may I speak to you for a second? I just wanted to share some information with you. And then let her have her say. If she says yes or no or has a comment, hear her out. And then go ahead and get into whatever it is that you want to mention. Again, keep your focus on the situation. Keep your focus on whatever the topic is that is related to the conflict. It's important not to interrupt someone as they're speaking, because you both are going to have your say. Please use active listening techniques. Active listening includes giving good eye contact, being present, focusing on what she's saying. Be very empathetic. Empathy means that you understand where she's coming from. Put yourself in her position. Validate her feelings. Once she has said whatever it is that is on her mind related to the conflict, then make a comment such as, I understand, I hear you, I can empathize with that feeling. So make sure you validate her feelings if you want her to come back and validate yours. Be careful about using offensive language. I don't care if she is a friend as well as a colleague in the workplace. Just keep it professional when you're dealing with the conflict situation. Don't be afraid of feedback. Now, some people may use the word criticism, but I don't like using criticism, so I'm just going to say don't be afraid of feedback, because feedback is good, especially if it's something that's constructive and not destructive. And when receiving feedback, make sure you stand or sit with an upright and open posture. Body language is extremely important when you're communicating or having a discussion with someone. And please also keep in mind that when you speak, the message that you're giving to someone else, 7% of your message comes from the words, and 38% of the message is your tone. And a whopping 55% of the message that you're conveying is your body language. So please pay attention to how you are appearing, your facial gestures, your body language, your volume in your voice, your tone. All of those things are critical, because the words you're saying only carry 7% of the message. So make sure that however you're looking or however you're sitting or however your appearance is, that you're aware of that. And because you don't want to have behavior, body language, that creates defensiveness in the other individual, because your whole objective here is to resolve the conflict. So describe the situation rather than evaluate her behavior. Keep that in mind. It's very important. You want to look for a solution that is a compromise. It's a win-win for you both. It's not you win, I lose, I lose, you win. It's not about that. It's about getting the conflict resolved. Now, if you focus on the future, this is another very important way to make sure that you both are going to be in a positive situation with the outcome. And I also wanted to just say, when it comes to conflict, try to keep your sense of humor. Now I know that's kind of hard when you're in the midst of conflict, but keep it light. I mean, sometimes we just get really weighed down and very heavy in life, and we really need to just, you know, don't sweat the small stuff. I know that's a cliche, but it's just so true. So try to keep your sense of humor, and you know, it's okay to take your job responsibility seriously and yourself, but try to laugh sometime with your female cohorts about the female culture, about how we are and some of the things that we can kind of get caught up in. One last tip I want to give before I give my closing remarks is that please never, ever confront conflict in writing. Don't send an email note. Don't write it down on paper and leave it on someone's desk or in someone's office. Because when you write out something, you can't hear that tone and you can't see the body language. So in writing, it's like the words now become the massive, major part of the message that you're trying to convey. So you leave the tone and the body language up for interpretation. So when you leave something up for interpretation, I promise you it's going to be interpreted in a negative way. So please be very, very careful with that. Now, ladies, in my final comments, I just want to make you aware of most of the material that I've shared with you in this segment has come from this outstanding book, In the Company of Women, that was written by Dr. Pat Heim and Dr. Susan Murphy. And this book has been featured on Good Morning America, The Today Show. They have been all over the country with this book. So I encourage you, if you don't have the book, if you haven't read the book, to please go to their website, The Heim Group, HEIMGROUP.com, and just take a look at some of the information they have out there and some of the excerpts that they have about the book. And in my closing statements, I just want to say, and this is also just, you know, some thoughts from the book. The truth about the situation is that we as women do care deeply about each other. We overall, and I'm giving us the benefit of the doubt, we overall do care about other women because we're all in it together. Without women in our lives, we feel lonely and incomplete, and we know that. We know we have very critical female friendships, and these friendships help us define ourselves because they foster the sharing of our deepest thoughts, feelings, beliefs, and experiences. When we get under stress, we know women will come to one another's aid, and we will stand by each other steadfastly with support, nurturing, and love. We'll pitch in when called upon to help one another, and we'll offer a shoulder to cry on and a warm embrace when feelings are hurt. We can celebrate one another's victories, large and small. We have come to expect that of one another. And usually our expectations are fulfilled. So knowing that, I want to end that on a positive note. Yes, we have a dark side. Yes, women can be vicious. Yes, women can definitely do things and say things and behave in ways that is just absolutely not becoming of our gender. So let's just take that and leave with a positive note. Next week, I am going to talk about the intra-racial relationship situations that African-American women deal with, because we know we have this issue with appearance, hair, relationships with other men, relationships with other women. And there are a lot of things that are going to happen in that segment. There are a lot of topics and things that I'm going to bring up in that segment. So we're going to hit on that next week. So please tune in next week and come back, because we still have a lot to go in this series about women hating and competing with each other. So ladies, I'm going to say I'm very proud of you. I am very extremely pleased that you're keeping up with this series and that you're actually getting some value from it. So good job. Continue to spread the love. Continue to bring your awareness within yourself out toward other women. So we're going to sign off for now. I'm Kathy Holloway Hill, and I thank you for joining us for this segment of Living by Design, and we'll see you next week with another episode and another empowering discussion on the Living by Design radio show. Good evening, everyone. You see my
evening.